Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends, and welcome. Happy Saturday afternoon. Paul Jamison here with your Real Estate Today and the owner of Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. We've got a great show today. We're excited to be spending Saturday afternoon with you. Thank you for your time and thank you for listening to us. If this is the first time that you have joined us for a show, let me just give you a little hint as to what you're in for today. We're going to be talking about your home. We're going to be talking about your mortgage. We're going to be talking about the closing process. We're going to be talking about things that matter to you right now related to real estate, whether you're a homeowner, an investor, a wannabe investor, a landlord, a seller buyer, doesn't matter. You don't have to be in any of those positions to get something out of what we're going to talk about today. So we're excited to have you there. We're excited to be with you. Sitting next to me in the studio today is Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Hey, Sandy.
Hi, glad to be here.
Also, from a secret remote location, Calvin Armstrong with Norwood Armstrong and Stokes is with us today. Hey, Calvin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yeah, great to have you back, friend, and always great to spend Saturday with you, kind of catching you in between soccer games and things that I'm sure you've got going on today, baseball games and all the other kind of things.
Yeah, I got three little ones at home, so we're running from dance practice to baseball practice to you name it. So I'm always on the run, which it's fun, though. I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's right. Cherish the times, right? Cherish.
Absolutely.
They end before you know it. Yeah, I don't know that your kids would, you're doing it through the grandkids
right.
These days. Right?
A lot of baseball.
Yeah.
Some t-ball. A little bit of dance, yeah. Or cheerleading, something they do.
Some solo singing, too, I understand. A little music recitals and all kinds of things going on.
All kinds of stuff.
That's good. That's good. And, today I want to start out the show with, as I always do, what in the world did I learn this week? What came across my desk that was worth sharing? Well, I was reminded of an old country saying. Not a song, a saying. Well, maybe it is a song. If it looks like a duck, sounds like a duck, acts like a duck, care to share with me, Sandy, what you think it is?
I would say a duck.
I would say you're right. You know? Or George, is it something else? You think?
No, it's a duck.
It's a duck? Okay. All right. So George, my friend and producer's in here helping out today in TJ's absence, and we're thinking about him. And hope he's doing well. I got a flyer from a property management company, not going to name who they are, even in a funny way, that promised me guaranteed rent for up to 3 years. They would give me a guaranteed rent quote in 24 hours. And they would promise that I would receive that rent for 3 years.
Wow.
Sign up now. Well, I brought that flyer to work and asked Greg, my director of operations, to call and find out what the real scoop was about that guaranteed rent. Well, do they guarantee a rent? Yes, they do. You sign a lease with that company and they guarantee a rent. The upfront fees were about $6,000. And if they go over the guaranteed rent and get more, they split it with you 50-50. if you look at that, that's just dumb to do something like that.
It's a horrible deal.
And, you know, it's just a complete ripoff, right, to the consumer. But yet, the headline, guaranteed rent for up to 3 years. No hassle, no worry. I'm telling you, if it looks like a duck, it's a duck, you know? It appears to be a great offer, right? Sound familiar? Appears to be a great offer. Has a motive, though, and that motive is my problem. The motive is my problem because I am not going to do business that way. I'm going to earn your business through trust, integrity, meeting your needs, and if I'm not the right fit, I'm not the right fit, and I shouldn't do business with you. You know, I recently heard another commercial with a great teaser about how we'll discount or we'll reduce this or we'll reduce that if you go with us. And then the very end it said, terms and conditions apply. Well, come on. What are we saying here? What we're saying here is that I have nothing against advertising. As you all know, if you're a longtime listener, I spent 27 years running and leading a business-to-business advertising agency. And Procter & Gamble was one of my best clients. And I understand what it's like to put a message out there. But I believe in business. I believe in competition. That's the key factor to capitalism. One size that fits all is just not realistic. But I do believe, unlike politics in our world that goes unchecked and unpunished, that if a business, if you operate with clear pricing, clear motives, and a clear message, unlike the others that, you know, just kind of put whatever it is out there that they think you want to hear, I believe in business, if you put out a clear message and clear motives, that eventually the business will come your way. And if you're not a nice person, for example, you can only fake nice for so long. And then the unnice will appear. So, on a positive note, activity is still brisk. Don't be afraid. Be realistic and look at all the circumstances, because if you delay, and Sandy's going to talk about this, the cost of delay can also be costly down the road. But know one thing for sure, that I am super positive about where we are, and know that I wouldn't want to be anybody else but in the Charlotte, North Carolina region right now. Because we got a lot of good things to talk about. All right, Sandy.
Yes.
Can we talk about mortgages?
We can. My favorite subject.
Okay. Will you update me?
Yeah, so rates are on the rise still. We got inflation. They're saying the inflation rate was 8.6, but they took food and energy out. So really, it's about 10%. It's very similar to back in like 81 when they were around 10%, and the Fed jumped the rates up to double digits to curb it and throw us into a recession, and that's what happened, and that's what finally curbed it. So now the Fed is raising rates, and the rates are up about double, from 3.5 to about 6.5. So most people would think that would double their payment, which it does not. So I'm here to say don't be afraid of the little bit higher rates that we have, because say if you have a $400,000 loan, and the difference in the 3.5 to the 6.5 is nowhere near double. It's more like about 25 to 28%, about $700 a month. So they're still affordable. It's still a great time to buy because houses are still appreciating. And I can run a dozen scenarios for anybody. So if you know, we can go over different types of loans, different payments, until we find something that's comfortable.
Right. All right. So we've got about 45 seconds left, and then we're going to come back for the next segment. But, Calvin, let me ask you something. What year did you buy your first house?
I bought my first house in 2014.
Okay, 2014. Sandy, what year did you buy your first house?
1985, I believe.
Okay. All right. So neither of you gave me the answer I wanted.
Let me
help frame the answer of what I'm going to want. When we get back, we're going to enter the time machine, and we're going to go back to 2008. We're going to go back to 2008. So come back after the break, jump into the time machine, because I'm going to take Calvin and Sandy back in time. We'll be right back to show you real estate today here on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back. Hey, it's Saturday. Who's not having a great Saturday? I know I am, and I'm glad to be with you on the show. You Real Estate Today, Paul Jamison here, owner of the Jamison Companies. That's Realty, Property Management, Property Investments. Here with my dear friend Sandy Dickinson, Cross Country Mortgage, as well as Calvin Armstrong with Norwood, Armstrong and Stokes, attorneys at law, specializing in real estate and real estate transactions, even though I'm not allowed to say attorneys specialize in anything. I think that's not correct, but they do a lot of real estate transactions. How about that?
That's our niche right there.
Proper way to say it. Okay, so we jumped into the time machine before the break. George wanted me to go back to Woodstock. I said no. And we're in the time machine, and we're going back to 2008, 2009. Well, we are now there. And Sandy.
Yeah.
Any kind of recollection of what rates were in that 07, 08, 09 period of time?
I think they were really, really good, around 6 or 7%.
Wait a minute. Calvin. Wait a minute. Are those good rates, Calvin?
In today's world, people don't think so, but I think we've been spoiled a little bit here lately. They're still great rates.
Friends, sit with me for a minute back in 07, 06, 07, 08, 09. Let's ponder for a moment. Those rates were before the 08 crash, having those rates, we were in a very equilibrium kind of market where buyers and sellers held hands and sung kumbaya and, you know, sat around the campfire and, you know, loved each other and, you know, didn't pay over asking price and, you know, due diligence wasn't around and it was a happy time.
It was happy for me.
There was only one state that marijuana was legal at the time, and we were still happy. You know, they were tree-hugging, Subaru-driving, kind of Birkenstock-wearing kind of happy. You know, like everybody was like a hippie because the rates were good and the market was balanced. Well, it is time to face the fact that if you really dig deep and are honest with yourself, come on, guys. Come on, Calvin. Come on, Sandy. Let's be honest with ourselves. I'll do a vote. Did you think that the 3% and the sub 3.5% long-term rates had any chance of surviving not only as long as they have, but going forward?
No, and they shouldn't have. It was fake. It was all government bond buying, you know. It just wasn't real.
Right. And I didn't, to be honest, I didn't think we'd ever get there. So I was shocked as they continued to go down, and I was surprised they lasted nearly as long as they did. I thought they'd be long gone.
I mean, we have got to say to ourselves, this is just a time in history, and I guarantee you right now, I have a loan that I did with Sandy that has a 2 7/8 interest rate. I am never going to pay that house
no,
off.
No, I wouldn't either.
That'd be the dumbest thing ever. That's like free money, right? I'm thankful for the time, but it wasn't real. And we've got to get back to letting the market equalize itself. It's good for everyone. And, you know, you guys have heard me say this time and time again, that rates are coming around to where they really should be. And inventory levels will too. It's going to take a while. But what's good for Charlotte is there's so much demand that, you know, although the panic has, it will slow, demand is still going to stay strong. And that's the good thing about being here. All right, let's move on. So, Sandy, you talked earlier about, okay, the contract is there, then what?
Yeah, so somebody goes under contract, and so then the process starts in several different directions. We order a lot of appraisal and stuff, and then we order the title. And we send a form over to the attorney, which would be Calvin, and we tell them how we want them to write the title, and then we throw it in their hands. So a lot of people don't we throw it at them.
Just checking.
And then once
we're happy to catch
words matter. Words matter.
Once Calvin has it, I don't think people understand what happens with the attorney's office.
Right. So once you pass it off to us, that's when, you know, we're getting things open on our side, and immediately we go into a fact finding, information gathering situation. So what we're doing is the first thing is we're getting information sheets out to buyers, sellers, saying. It explains a few things. It goes over what our role in the transaction is, what we're doing, what we don't do. So if there's particular circumstances that we can point out, hey, we don't do that, but we can either do it on this transaction in particular, or we can get in contact with someone that does do these things. So we're trying to inform the client, but we're also asking for information back from them. So we're starting to ask them, okay, who owns the property? Can you confirm agent commissions? Is there an HOA on the property? Is there a payoff on the property? Do you have mortgages that we need to be paying off? Things like that. One thing that's common that we've run into a lot is, we've added this to our information sheets that we're gathering at that point, is, are you going to be present at closing? As you guys both know, we have people moving into the area from all over the country, and a lot of times when they're buying their house, they're not in the Charlotte area yet. So we're gathering that information to see, do we need to start setting up mail-away closings so they can sign wherever they're at, or will they actually be in office with us? And then, internally, we're ordering title, so we're going to confirm a lot of that information that we're asking the client for. We're going to run title, see what liens are on the property. We can confirm payoffs, et cetera, that way. So that's what we're doing when we get started, but it's a kind of a check process, if you will. We're confirming it with the public record and what the title says, but we're also asking the people involved in the transaction what information they have and asking them to share it with us.
Right. And you know, one of the things that we all kind of talked about before, which is not talked about often, is how is that title, how do you want it vested? How do you want that title to appear? And, you know, that's a very significant question, not just to the lender, but to your future and how you take title to that property, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And who has to be at the closing table? How many times
exactly
did
that.
Not the right people show up at the closing table, or you're missing one or two?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And then, you know, the contract, it does say that how it's supposed to be vested, but I think that's, it's an opportunity for us to have a conversation with clients to see what is your situation? What's your marital status? What's your plan with this property? Whether it's a primary or investment property, that can change how we're titling things. And what I like to do is ask the client, what are you trying to accomplish? What's your goal here? And then I can kind of guide you to where I think you should go, but I'm going to give you a few options. Part of that is both how you're going to hold the title now for liability purposes, but also what's your plan with the property? Are you going to sell it in a couple of years, or do you plan to pass it down to your children? What's the succession plan? Because we can help to guide them with how we're titling the property as well. So it seems like a simple question on its face, but it's one that once we open that can of worms, we can have a long, long conversation. I think it gets overlooked a lot of times too, because clients think, as long as I own the property, that's all that really matters. I can control it down the road. But we can really plan for the future a lot depending on how we're titling it.
It doesn't matter to you how it's titled, does it, as long as you got that personal guarantee?
Everything matters to me.
That was a really loaded question. Those that are watching the YouTube playback on this stuff, and you see the look that I just got from Sandy when I asked that question, it's pretty dang funny. You go to the Jameson Realty YouTube channel, you can see it. It was meany.
My closing administrator is all over
us. She gave me the meany look. Yeah, Calvin, doesn't matter, does it? Doesn't matter how to take title, you know. Just take it. Just put it in the wife's name. That's the easiest.
Yeah, it's just one of the largest investments you'll ever have in your lifetime. So it doesn't matter how you own it or how it's going to be transferred down the road.
Yeah, how you take title. Well, after the break, we will talk about title just a little bit because we want to do that. The interesting thing, Calvin and I had a conversation this morning about title and about how title comes up not only with a lot of odd things and changes that it comes across and old things that appear, but also the importance of how you title it. So we'll be right back to Show Your Real Estate Today, News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back. Happy Saturday. It's Paul Jameson, your host with the Jameson family of real estate companies. It's so funny. I went to the door the other day and somebody said, Paul Jameson with the Jameson family of real estate companies. So now when I say it, I think about that person that said that. And then Lori, the office manager, says that to me all the time. Jameson Realty, Jameson Property Management, Jameson Property Investments. So we're glad you're with us today with the Jameson family of companies. Here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Not going cross country for a mortgage, Cross Country Mortgage. And then, of course, Calvin Armstrong with Norwood Armstrong and Stokes. It's PLLC?
Yes, sir.
All right, PLLC. How come you attorneys get a P in front of your LLC?
Someone in the legislature liked us, I guess. You get a little extra wiggle room.
Fancy, a whole bunch of alphabet soup after you. That sounds good.
Right. All right. So, exactly.
All right, Sandy. So one of the things I want to go back to is the first segment. For those of you that missed it, we'll just kind of recap. We were talking a little bit about rates, how they've doubled since the first of the year. But the double rates do not mean double payments. And, you know, we talked about timing and we talk about waiting. Even though rates have moved in an upward direction, what are your thoughts about waiting longer?
Well, I think that if people that wait will probably have FOMO, fear of missing out, because you probably will be missing out. So let's look at the unbelievable appreciation that we've had. Say that knocks down to 2% a year. Say you buy a $300,000 house and you put 10% down. That's $30,000. And it appreciates in 5 years 10%. So on that $30,000, you just doubled your money and made 100% return on your investment.
Right.
So that's 20% a year. I don't think we're getting that in the stock market right now. So even
negative.
Though, I know. I would say even if the appreciation slows down, which it probably will, mm-hmm. you're still going to have a terrific investment.
Right. And the other side of it, too, what happens if rates fall down?
Yeah, then we'll refinance you and drop your payment hundreds of dollars. It's very exciting.
Well, I mean, I think the reality
win,
is...
Win.
Like she said, I think the reality is this is not a fence-sitting time. I think... Will we see continued growth in inventory? Yeah, I think we will. Do I think it's going to get back to a six-month level of inventory, which is balanced between buyers and sellers, anytime in the near future? No. We are still in a very low inventory environment. So it's got a long way to go to get to that balanced inventory again. So I think it's important we talk about waiting and thinking that rates are going to drop or somehow costs of homes are going to go down is not an option that I would recommend at this point. Would you agree?
I do agree.
Okay. What about you, Calvin? You agree?
I agree 100%.
Yeah. And speaking of agreeing 100%, title has to be 100% right before you put the insurance on it. And sometimes it's not 100% right when you do title search and research on a title. So here's two things I would like you to answer for me in this segment.
Okay.
Number one, there are some key ways to take title, and just give us a quick lesson on that. But number two, and most importantly, what can be wrong with a title that you would find, especially in some of this older inventory we're dealing with, and any stories or any kind of things that you can relate in that
form? Right. Absolutely. Okay. So in regards to question number one, the proper way to take title, I think, you know, like I said, there's a bunch of questions that should be asked up front, but the most common situation we see is where there's a married couple purchasing a property. You know, they're first-time home buyers, maybe upsizing, downsizing, whatever the case may be. But that's what we see the most often. And in that situation, there's a clear choice. It doesn't mean it's the only answer, but the clear choice for us is it's called a tenancy by the entirety. What that means is that both spouses own the property, and if one of the spouses were to pass away in the future, at that point, the ownership interest of the deceased spouse transfers immediately to the surviving spouse. But the really neat thing about a tenancy by the entirety, in my opinion, is it gives some judgment protections against any potential judgments against the couple. So let's say husband and wife buy a house, they own a tenancy by the entirety. Husband's in a car accident, which is his fault, and he's sued, and there's a judgment obtained against him. If it's titled in a tenancy by the entirety, that judgment does not attach to the property. What that means is when they go to sell the property, that's not a lien on the property. We do not have to pay it off. Their proceeds go to them as sellers. We're not paying off this judgment. If it's titled, you know, tenancy in the common, tenancy, joint tenants with rights of survivorship, something like that, which is similar, that judgment is going to attach. So they're going to have to pay that off out of their sale proceeds. You know, of course, there's got to be a few exceptions to this, and the most common one that will pierce a tenancy by the entirety is IRS tax liens. The government, they're going to get theirs. So those, we can't get around that, but we're getting, you know, we're covering, you know, I'd say 98% of any judgments that are going to come up. So that's the clear choice, in my opinion.
Can you do that choice if you're not married?
You cannot. It's only available to married couples. And one thing that I should clarify here, that if you buy a property, and let's say we see it a lot where people are engaged and they're going to get married soon, but they're going to buy their house now. We can't title it a tenancy by the entirety. One of the requirements is that there's a marriage in place. So I recommend to them in closing, say, once you guys get married, come back and see us. We're going to deed the property from you to you, but in that, we're going to establish that tenancy by the entirety so that you have those judgment protections going forward. That is the one time after marriage where I think you really do need to re-deed it. One time where you don't is a lot of times when people get married, one of the spouses changes their last name. That does not present an issue going down the road. We can correct that with a FKA, a formerly known as. So if you're selling it, refiing it, something like that, we can address the name change at that point. There's no need to waste your money now. But those judgment protections post-marriage are huge. You should definitely spend the couple hundred dollars to get that corrected.
How does the lender feel about changing it from tenancy in common to tenancy by entirety?
If they're married, I usually always guess tenancy by the entirety. Yeah. That's like a standard for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about common law marriage?
Common law, it's not recognized in North Carolina or South Carolina, per one of our associates. I'm not licensed in South Carolina. but it's not recognized. So it has to be, you know, the marriage requirements have to have the ceremony, marriage license, et cetera.
Interesting. That's something to really know about. Does the title insurance company care?
Not really, because what we're doing is once we get, so we give them what's called a preliminary title opinion. It says, at a high level, it says, this is who owns the property. This is any issues we've located with that title. And we submit that to them. And at that point, they give us a commitment back that says, all right, here are all the things you need to fix up or do prior to closing for us to ensure this transaction. And then we work through that list. Once we get closed and we've effectively titled the property at that point, we provide a final title opinion and just let them know, okay, yes, we met all your requirements. And in addition to that, this is a copy of the deed. This is how the titles are the properties titled, so that they know on their insurance policy how to list the insureds. So we're determining that from their perspective, they don't care.
All right. So when we get back from the break, let's talk about some title stories and some title errors that you have come across in some of these older properties. But while we have the chance, Calvin, if people have a question about how their home is titled and not sure how to do that, who do they call and how?
Yeah, give us a call at Norwood Armstrong & Stokes, number 704-529-1100.
And, of course, Sandy, if they want to look at mortgages and they believe us that it's not the time to sit on the fence and they're ready to look at options, how do they get you?
They call my mobile at 704-577-0144.
All right. More to come after the break. The show, Your Real Estate Today, Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage, Calvin Armstrong, Norwood Armstrong & Stokes, and myself, Paul Jamison from the Jamison Family of Companies. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110-993. Welcome back. Happy Saturdays to you all, and thank you for joining us. I feel like I should be like square dancing with Sandy here in the studio, but let's not. Also got George in here. He's wearing kind of a square dancing shirt.
I think that's a dance I could do.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just move on from there. Thank you, Sandy, for that. All right, to show you real estate today, Paul Jamison here. Also joining us is Calvin Armstrong with Norwood Armstrong & Stokes, Sandy Dickinson, Cross Country Mortgage, and you guys know me, Paul Jamison, having a good time with you on Saturday talking real estate. If you're just tuning in, you're like, who are these people? But yes, we do have some things to talk about yet, and at the break, we talked with Calvin about the title and how to take title, but, you know, there's a lot of older homes getting sold right now. And when you're doing these title searches, there's some issues that have come up, you know?
That's exactly right, Paul. Like I was alluding to at the beginning of this, when we get the file open on our side, we're starting that title search. And basically the way I describe that process to our clients is our job is to be the problem finder and then the problem solver, so that we can ensure or guarantee that they're buying the property that they're paying for. So they're actually getting what they're buying. And, you know, there's evolving issues that come up with this real estate market. But there's a few common ones. There's three that I've really been seeing here lately. And one of them is issues surrounding estates. Depending on the timing of when the person that owned the property passed away, there's different requirements we have to meet. And that the big number there is if it's within 2 years, if we're selling the property within 2 years of the date of death, that's when we're, if they're a sole owner, there's a requirement that there be an estate opened, so that we can determine ownership and transfer of the property and who has the authority to actually sign and sell the property. If it's beyond the 2 years, simplified process. We're getting some affidavit signed that says, I know the family. I'm a third party. I'm not involved in the transaction. I know the family. I know that this lady had four kids. This is their names. I know she didn't have any other children. Getting that affidavit signed and providing that to the title insurance company. And again, the whole purpose of that is just determine that, A, who can sign and to make sure that we have everybody signing. Because if we're missing one signature in there or a signature of a spouse of an heir, then we have a title issue that's going to come up down the road, and you may not own the property that you think you're buying. So it's vital that we work through those problems up front. And it's very detail-oriented, but it's something that we're working through on a regular basis, and we're very comfortable with it.
Calvin, if all of a sudden a spouse appears that hadn't signed 10 years later?
Mm-hmm. If they're still married, there's an ownership interest that that spouse has that they have to waive, even if they're not on title, and they waive it by signing the deed and conveying that interest over. So we need to have all heirs, all spouses. And then the other way that it can complicate this is if, you know, the example I gave, if mom passed away within the last 2 years, but one of the children passed away, then there could be a requirement for a second, third, fourth estate. And it can get very complicated, and, you know, you throw in estranged spouses, things like that, it can really snowball. But luckily, we don't run into those situations a lot, but if we do, we're happy to work through it. We can guide our buyers and sellers, let them know this is what has to take place, and this is how we fix the problem for both sides to get them the result that they want.
Yeah. It's interesting because I bet it does happen.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And that's when people think that we're just complicating the situation needlessly, but really we're just trying to protect their interest and make sure everyone gets what they bargained for.
Yeah. All right. So what else have you seen happen?
The ongoing issue that the title companies are always harping at us when we do our continuing ed is old liens on properties. And the most common one is an equity line. Because, you know, if people have a mortgage on their property, they know that. They're making their monthly payment. They know that when they sell the property, that loan has to be paid off. But what a lot of people do is they'll carry an equity line on the property, and either they've paid it off because they had a one-time use for it and they think it's been satisfied or canceled, or they just have it there just in case they need it. And so they're not making monthly payments on it, so they forget that it's there. And then when we run our title search, we see that there's a second mortgage on the property. Or it's from a prior owner that was missed in a prior transaction. And this is the one, a lot of times, if we provide enough documentation and kind of plead our case to the title insurance companies, they say there's not a lot of risk with this issue, and we can insure over it, so we're good to move on. But equity lines is one area where they're not willing to insure over them because they're outstanding. People can go make draws on them, and it's a lien on the property that the title company would be liable for if they did insure over. So that's probably the most common title issue that we see, and it kind of catches people off guard. And it can really delay the transaction because there is a way we try to work with the bank first to see if we can get the bank to cancel it. If it, you know, there is no payoff, et cetera. But as we all know, loans transfer hands a lot between banks or banks merge together. So determining who actually is the holder of that note at this point can be complicated. But there is a 30-day cancellation process that we can work through. But at minimum, you're delaying the transaction at least 30 days. In my experience, it's closer to 45 days, which you guys know in the real estate world, that's an eternity when people are trying to buy, sell, and move, all that. So on the seller side, it's really important to, even if you had an equity line years ago, check it out, call the bank, see if it's been canceled. That can really save you a lot of time and headache once you get under contract to sell your property.
Yeah, you know, it's really an interesting process because that's why the second that contract gets signed by both parties, it needs to go into your hands, right?
Right.
And
right.
It needs to get to the attorney, because the sooner you find this stuff, the sooner you can remedy it and the less delay you would have over things like that. I mean, the last five transactions, I believe about one in five has some kind of equity line that has never been taken off that we're finding on these older properties.
That's exactly right. The more time that we have up front to work through this, the better for us. And one thing that we recognized a few years ago was our biggest weakness as a firm is we are outsourcing all of our title work. So we are at the mercy of third-party vendors to provide it back to us. And one thing that we've done is that we try to provide as a service to both the clients, but the agents and the lenders as we do in-house title work. So we have two abstractors that are working full-time that do our title searches so that if we're aware of a potential issue or if there's something time-sensitive, we can move that to the front of the line and make sure we're working through that that problem as quickly as possible so that we're minimizing any needed delays.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty critical.
It's my favorite part about working with them.
Yeah, I know it is. Well, in the last minute and a half or so, are there any other thoughts that you have to share on that?
Last thing, you know, keep it simple is get surveys done, especially on older properties. There's just because the fence has been somewhere for 30 years doesn't mean it's in the right spot. There's old easements, things like that. It'll cost you $500-$600 up front, but get a survey.
Yeah, I think that's great. A great thought. All right, so before we go, one more time, your phone number, Calvin?
704-529-1100.
And Sandy with Cross Country?
704-577-0144.
704-577-0144. Okay. So before we go, I want to give folks a quick, I did some research on lawn watering because I wanted to make sure in these hot days I could provide you with a lawn watering tip. So I thought the more you watered your grass, the greener it would get. Nay, nay. Too much water can cause brown patch, which is a mold mildew that eats the grass, makes it brown. They say the maximum should be no more than 30 minutes a day, and that is ample. And to wear aeration shoes when you walk around, that's shoes with spikes in them, or a pair of stilettos, but you'd have to do a lot of walking. But remove weeds with a spade, and it'll make those weeds go away. So keep them not too wet, 30 minutes max. And enjoy your Saturday. The show, Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison, 846 Dunn, 846-3663. You're on the web at myjamisonhomes.com. God bless. Have a great day. Talk to you next week.